for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This tape is on the Power Gifts by Reverend W. L. Duncan.
From 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and starting with the 7th verse, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another the discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. Now, as we have considered in our studies before, that concerning the gifts of the Spirit, that He worketh all in all, according to the 6th verse and the 7th verse, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, in our study concerning the gifts of the Spirit, we must remember here, and people say, well, if that's the case, how come Paul said, for to one is given the word of wisdom, to another is given the word of knowledge, etc.? He speaks this because we must remember that in 1 Corinthians 12 and also 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter, Paul is speaking about the operation of the gifts through the believers, and he is speaking about the divine order in a meeting. And as you come together, as we've told you before, that the 9 gifts of the Spirit are resident at all times and will come forth as a need arises, that tonight we may come to the house of God, and to one may be given or operated or manifested through the word of wisdom, to another may be operated and given the word of knowledge, to another the gift of prophecy, to another the gifts of healing, to another will move in the gift of discerning of spirits. Tomorrow night the same group may come together, and you that did not prophesy last night, you may be given the word of wisdom, to another may be given the gift of faith, the operation of the gift of faith through you. And this is the understanding that Paul was speaking about in the first verse of the 12th chapter when he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And then actually reads, now concerning spiritual enablement, I will not have you to be ignorant. Now we must remember that Christ is the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And for this reason we say this, people say, well, now you're going to get too gift conscious. It's impossible for a person to get too gift conscious because Christ is actually the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Christ is all wisdom, so He gives the word of wisdom. Christ is all knowledge, so He gives the word of knowledge. Christ is all faith, so He gives the gift of faith. Christ is all discerning or knowing of spirit, so He gives the gift of discerning of spirit. Christ is all miracle working power, so He gives the gift of the miracle working power of God. Hallelujah. So remember that to one is given, and as a need arises, and it doesn't make any difference what it is, you may move into that, and that gift will be operated and manifested in and through you to the measure that you will allow the Spirit of God to do it. Now, the more you move in, that will create confidence, and the more confidence you have, naturally, you will move in with greater ability. The first 3 gifts that we have considered, naturally, are known as the inspirational gifts, which are the gift of interpretation, the gift of tongues, and also the gift of prophecy. We have just concluded in our studies in the realm of the revelational gifts, and the revelational gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. Now we move on to the power gifts, or what is known as the faith gifts. You can call them the faith gifts or the power gifts, and in these is the gift of faith. And let me say here that the gift of faith must be manifested in all of these gifts. You move in by faith. You don't move in just because you feel like it. And again, may I tell you here that this is where there's been such a misunderstanding, especially in the realm of the Pentecostal people. They have confused inspiration and in the anointing. The anointing abides. You may not feel inspired to do something, but you can still move in and do it because the anointing abides. The anointing does not come and go. You remember that. The anointing does not come and go, but the anointing abides. And so then, there is the gift of faith, there is the gifts of healing, and then there is the gift of miracles. And we're going to study now, and in our study this day, we're going to move into the gift of faith. Now, according to Romans, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse, and I want you to read it here because we're going to consider the measure of faith. We're going to consider gift, the faith, the fruit. We're going to consider the gift of faith according to the gifts of the Spirit. But in Romans 12, and starting with the first verse, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And again, this is where the human spirit comes in, because in our studies we have considered that there are three spirits involved. There is the divine spirit that will never come in without invitation. The spirit of God has to be invited. There is the demonic spirit that will come in without invitation, because it comes in because of an open area. And then there is a human spirit that is never to be discerned in the realm of discerning of spirits. And if anything is to be known about the human spirit, this can be known by the gift of the word of knowledge, which God will show a person. And this is where the human spirit is involved, because he gives a challenge. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual service. And be not conformed or fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. And it's important that the believers know the renewing of the mind today, that you know the life of Christ today. What you received yesterday will not suffice for the day, but there must be the daily renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, may I say here, that faith only begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God for your life, if you don't know the pattern that God has set for you, you can never move into faith, because faith only begins where the will of God is known, and the will of God can only be known as you submit yourself to the understanding of the Word of God by revelation, and as you will go to your secret closet of prayer, and you will stay in prayer long enough, and not just do all the talking, but you will stay in prayer long enough that you will know the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, my sheep know my voice. And remember, in this end time message, God's children are coming to the place that they are not going to be in unrest. They are not going to be in confusion. They are not going to be driven by driving spirit, because they're going to know the still small voice of the Lord. And we must remember that children of God are led and not driven. And then Paul said here in Romans 12 and 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now listen, if you as a sinner are listening in, you do not need to pray for faith to be saved. Every person from birth is given the measure of faith to be saved. Not one person is given more measure than the other, because I must read this scripture again. And again, in these studies, I admonish you to stick to the Word of God. Don't take some quarterly, don't say take some book and say, well, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so's been in Pentecostal many years, and so-and-so knows all the ins and the outs about it. You take what the Word of God has to say about it. In Romans 12 and 3, it said, for no person to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now remember that the Lord is no respecter of person. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith, and in the measure of faith is saving faith, and this is the reason that the measure of faith and saving faith comes before salvation. Now I'm going to break those down here. Number one, saving faith is before salvation, and every person has enough faith to be saved. Thank God for the born-again experience. Many times as we move into the deeper things of God, people are saying, well, are you going to leave the place of repentance? 1,000 times no. But Paul the Apostle said, not laying again the same foundation of repentance. I thank God for the repentance, for the method, for the message of repentance. But listen, we in Pentecost, many of us have been at altars repenting and repenting and repenting, and we're repenting of the same thing that we repented of 20 years ago. It's like a record that you can play over and over and over again. Let's move on and remember that our sins have been forgiven. And our sins have not only been forgiven, but they've been forgotten. It said God forgives and he forgets. Now the natural person, the human person, can't do this. A person said, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget what you've done to me. When God forgives you, when you repent of your sin, God forgives you and he forgets about your past. That's the reason you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, saving faith is before salvation. Number two, faith of fruit is after salvation. And number three, faith, the gift of the Holy Ghost, is after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, it said that to another is given the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a gift of the Spirit to the saint that he might work miracles and that he might receive miracles. Now remember, this is a power gift. And after a person has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all nine gifts of the Spirit are resident at all times, not just a gift of speaking in other tongues. Thank God in our prayer life, we can speak to God. And when we speak to God, and I'm not speaking of sanctuary in the body of Christ. I'm speaking of that time that you commune with God, and when you speak to God in a heavenly language, now listen to this, it may shock you. There is no demon or the devil can even understand this. Nobody understands this except God. And there are many times when you speak to God in a heavenly language, and I'm not speaking just in a foreign language, many times the Lord will move upon a person and they will actually speak in a foreign language, but I'm speaking in a heavenly language now. When you are communicating with the Lord, no man understands that. No devil understands that. And when you are speaking to the Lord in a heavenly language, there's no devil that can block the prayer that you're praying, because the Spirit is praying through you and the Lord will undertake in a supernatural way. You need to speak in other tongues every day. The speaking in other tongues is the one gift that the Lord has given that you might edify yourself. In other words, that you might build up the spiritual faculties in your own life, that you may move on in deeper into the things of God. But not only is the gift of tongues resident at all times, but the gift of faith is resident at all times. And many will say, well, the gift of faith is resident at all times. Why am I not seeing more done for God? Because of the lack of knowledge, because of the lack of understanding. And remember that the gift of faith is given as a gift of the Spirit to the saint, that he might work miracles, and also that he might receive miracles by the same Spirit or by the gift of faith. In James, the 2nd chapter, in the 19th verse, we read, the devils have had faith in perfection. They believe and tremble. Remember this, devils do not cast doubt on things that they don't believe, but on things that they do believe. And the adversary, for his own end, makes it difficult for us to believe that which he thoroughly believes himself, and that if we believe it, we will not only believe and tremble, but we will believe and there will be reality in it. There will be manifestations of God's power through it. Remember that the devils never believe and tremble at something that is not truth. They believe and tremble at that which their own good will cause fear to come upon you. And say, now, if you move into that, that's going to be the flesh. If you move into that, that's going to be fanaticism. You remember that those demons of unbelief and doubt and fear, they're not doing that for your good as a Christian, because they hate you. They're doing that against you, and they're standing against you so that you will not move into the glorious liberty and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, many times in our service, I ask this question. I say, now, what do you expect from an apple tree? Most every time, people will say, well, they expect apples. Naturally, we expect apples, but that is not the answer. All right, what do you expect from an apple tree? You expect it to produce another apple tree. You expect seeds. And if it does not produce another apple tree, naturally you can receive the fruit from that tree. You can enjoy the apples. But if it did not produce another apple tree, when that apple tree was gone, we would soon be out of apple trees, or you can use any other tree. All right, what is expected from a Christian person? We are expected to reproduce after our kind. Every Christian is expected to reproduce another Christian, because this is the way that the Lord has given us the gifts of the Spirit, and we receive of his divine nature that we might reproduce after our kind that which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring forth another Christian walking in faith and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Now, the gift of faith is distinct from the faith of fruit according to Galatians 5:22, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of faith. Faith is the only one that is used in both. Faith is one of the is a fruit of the Spirit, and also faith is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Faith, the fruit, does not work miracles. Now, many times people will say, well, I'll take the fruit and not the gifts. And others will say, well, I'll take the gifts and not the fruit. Listen, Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. It is impossible for the human person, aside from the Spirit of God, to be patient. It's impossible for him to be long-suffering. We have tried, but we have tried to no avail. And again, it's important to mention here, we've sung to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. We've prayed at the altars. We've cried, and the Lord knows that we meant it from our heart. And we said, Lord, I want to be like you. It's impossible for any person to imitate Christ. We are not called to be imitators. We are called to allow the Spirit of God to manifest Himself through us as a hidden treasure, and for Him to come forth in His patience, in His long-suffering, in His gentleness, in His kindness, in His forbearance, in His love. And the only way this is going to be done, and the devil knows we have battled and strived for the victory, that as one sister testified, she says, we worked and strived and battled for the victory, that when you finally get it, that you're so worn out you can't enjoy it. And how true that is. Listen, the victory has been given 1900 years ago. It is about time that we move into the victory of Calvary's cross. This is about time that we move into the victory that was given 1900 years ago, and realize that your own flesh is no good. Our own flesh is, our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And when we come to the place that we realize it's a victory of Christ, we walk into the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are aligned, the manifestation of the Spirit to be manifested and operated in and through us, that all might profit. Faith, the fruit, doth not work miracles. Faith, the fruit, is for the character. It is for the righteousness of the Lord to come forth through the believers. We need a revival of holiness. We need a revival of righteousness. We can try to make the tree righteous from the outside in. We can try to look holy by doing this and by doing that, and we can make our own righteousness. Listen, that is just filthy rags in the sight of God. The only thing that is going to produce righteousness in the believer, the only thing that is going to produce righteousness in you and me, is for faith the fruit to come forth. Because faith the fruit is for character, and that is speaking of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will produce righteousness, that will produce holiness, that will produce a right standing with God. Now as we move on in, faith the gift is for power. Now as I mentioned a moment ago, and you must follow and listen to these tapes over and over so that you'll receive this by revelation, the faith of fruit is for character to come forth, the character of Christ to come forth in Christ, and it is so important. The faith of fruit will not work miracles, and so faith the gift is for power. Now faith the gift will never bring forth the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason the faith of fruit is given. It is important for a person to move into faith the gift, because faith the gift is for power. And according to Mark the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse, the Word of God tells us, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is through the operation of the gift of faith through a person, because faith the gift is for power. Job 22 and 28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. And as we move on into the things of the Lord, the Lord is going to honor your word as His own, as His very own word, because you will be a person that will be manifesting the Spirit of the Lord. And as we have already spoken and said, that Christ is the nine gifts of the Spirit. He is all faith, so He gives the gift of faith. He is all wisdom, so He gives the gift of the word of wisdom. He is all knowledge, so He gives the gift of the word of knowledge. He is all knowing of spirits, so He gives the gift of discerning of spirit. He is all miracle working power, so He gives the gift of miracles. He is all divine healing, divine strength, abundant life. And so He gives the gift of the gifts of healing, so that people might be touched by the power of God. You remember that Elijah said to Ahab, he said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then we have the scripture. You must try to read them in 1 Kings 17 and 1. And also in James 5 and 17. And also in 2 Kings 2 and 22. And I want to mention a personal experience here concerning John Knox. You know what the Queen of Scotland said? The Queen of Scotland said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe. Here was a queen, a great leader, a recognized leader. And when John Knox, a prayer warrior that knew how to allow the gift of faith to operate in and through him, it wasn't just repeated prayers. It wasn't just formal prayers. But when he prayed, all of the hosts of heaven would come to his attention, until the Queen of Scotland said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe. earth. Listen, when you move in and when you begin to pray the prayer of faith, all of the hosts of heaven will come to your attention because of the Spirit of God moving in and through you through the gift of faith. Daniel knew that if he would have killed the lions, it would have been the gift of miracles. But because he lay there in rest, it was a gift of faith in operation because he had rest in spite of the circumstances. The gift of faith will cause rest to be operating in your life. Many times when we think that the gift of faith is going to be operated, it is going to change all of the circumstances on the outside. The circumstances may be the same on the inside, but because of faith operating, there will be rest that will be in your heart and soul. And in 1 Peter 3 and 4, he said, "But let it be the ornament which is of a meek and a quiet spirit that will be within, which is in the sight of God of great price." Oh, saints of God, it's about time that we're not just concerned about what we are going to leave our family, our children in the realm of the natural, but that some way that the gift of faith is in operation through us. That some way we will know and people will know and our children that we will know that we have been with God, and that there will be those in the world today that the world will say, these are people that the world is not worthy, not because of what they've done in the earthly realm, that is important to a degree, but what they have left in the realm of the Spirit, and that is a gift of faith. I come from a large family. I was a 13th member, the 13th child of a family. My father was sick for 13 years and passed away when I was 13 years old. And during those depression years back in Dakota, many of you remember those depression years. Grasshoppers would come in until you couldn't see the sun. People hardly had enough to eat. And with such a large family and not having much, I didn't know until I got older many things that my mother was called to go through. But I can remember as a child, I would look at my mother and I would think, Mom doesn't have any problems. There's nothing that worries Mom. Listen, I know there were big problems. I know with my father being sick for 13 years. I mean, know many times as I got older now, she didn't know what she was going to feed the family. But listen, my mother, the gift of faith was operated through her. And there was such a rest, such a security, that to her children that were small, we did not feel frustrated. We did not feel unrest because my mother knew how to talk to God. My mother knew how to allow the Word of God to be manifested through her. And with a large family, this same faith was passed on down. Not because we had a lot in the world, not because we had a lot of earthly things, because only God knows we did not. But I'll tell you, she had faith in God that was so instilled in her that there was such a rest that we would look at and say, Mom doesn't have any problems. She may have had her problems. The circumstances were bad on the outside, but she had a rest and a peace in the Lord. Many times if there's a youngster, even 13 and 14, we would go to another city to a fellowship meeting, get in maybe at 12 or 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. We could pass by our mother's bedroom window, and there my mother would be down upon her knees, and I would hear her prayers. I would hear her praying, oh, God bless Wilburn, God bless Walter, God bless Glenn. She would name every one of the children in prayer, and she would say, Lord, keep them from the world. Lord, keep them from the wicked one. Listen, that was a gift of faith in operation. My mother went to be with the Lord 10 years ago, but since that time, there were those in my family that were away from God. Those who had become alcoholics, and I thought, God, is there any help for them? But since my mother's been taken to be with the Lord, and because of the gift of faith that was manifested, one by one they're coming to know Christ as their personal Savior. One by one they're being delivered from the powers of sin. One by one they're knowing that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Listen, grandmothers and mothers and dads, we must move into a rest and a security in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must allow the gift of faith to be operated, that our children will see the faith of Christ in us, that this will be instilled in the children, that this will be instilled in the grandchildren, that as they look at us as parents, it will not be with driving spirits, spirits of frustration, spirits of unrest in the home, but with the peace and the power of God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now as we consider these gifts, the gift of miracles is more of an act, as when the waters were opened by Moses or Elijah. The gift of faith is more of a process. The gift of faith is a process, as when Isaac blessed Jacob in terms of that or in terms of that which could only be fulfilled in a long period of time. Now remember, I must say this again, that the gift of faith is of greater duration. The gift of faith will go on. And we today, 1900 years after the gift of faith was manifested in Paul, we are reaping from the gift of faith of Paul. We are reaping from the gift of faith of those that have lived for centuries. And I want to tell you, according to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and I'm going to turn and read it to you, that the gift of faith will not be something that will just work a miracle today. I thank God for the gift of miracles. I thank God for the gifts of healing. But I want to tell you, it's important that we realize that we have the power to allow the gift of faith to be operated in and through us today, that we will realize that it's going to build a foundation of generations to come. In Isaiah 58 and the 9th verse, thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat and strong thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And notice in the 12th verse, and this is what I want you to notice concerning the gift of faith. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restore of the past to dwell in. Listen, saints of God, the word of God says here that thou shalt build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of generations to come. I want you to know that if the Lord should tarry and for generations to come, that these generations shall know the Spirit and the power of God because of the gift of faith that is operated in and through thee. And were it not for the gift of faith of the grandmothers and the grandfathers, were it not for the gift of the faith of Paul, would it not be for the gift of faith operated through John the Revelator, where would we today be? Listen, we have the power in the name of the Lord to raise up the foundation of many generations to come. I want you to notice the scripture in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter and the 9th verse. Now in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter and the 9th verse, it tells us that the iniquity of the parents is visited upon the children for the 3rd and the 4th generation. But I want you to notice the difference of the sin or the iniquity of the parents being visited upon the children to the 3rd and the 4th generation in comparison to the gift of faith in building the foundation of generations to come. For in Deuteronomy 7 and 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I want to tell you, this is dynamite today. I want you to realize that when the saints of God will realize that the gift of faith is resident within them, and we will, instead of throwing up our hands and say, oh God, there's such sin in the world, my God, what are we going to do because of communism? Lord, what are we going to do because of the rioting among the teenagers? Lord, what are we going to do because of the coldness and the lethargy in the church, that the Spirit of God will move upon us like it did in Hebrews the 11th chapter? By faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Barak, by faith Gideon, by faith those of the world is not worthy. By faith they put the armies of the aliens to fight and to flight, and instead of coming to the place that we're despondent, we'll say, well, Lord, take me home because I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80 years old, that the Spirit of God will come upon us and that we will realize that the gift of faith is in operation, and that according to Deuteronomy 7 and 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, knowing that if we will walk with God, knowing that if we will be examples of the truth, knowing that we will walk in holiness and a right standing with God, knowing that if we will allow faith of fruit which will bring forth the character of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, and it will bring forth which the Word of God says, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, and the word righteousness means a right standing with God, that the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, and knowing that according to Isaiah the 58th chapter, that we have the right to build a foundation of generations to come, and whether you die and you're dead or buried, you're 80 or 90, that you will know that the gift of faith that is operated and manifested in you will build a foundation of your children and of your grandchildren and of your great-grandchildren, and that you will build a foundation of many generations to come, and that the Spirit of God will move upon even 1,000 generations of those that will keep the commandments of the Lord. Now let me tell you, the increase of the government of the Lord shall know no end. The knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth. Hallelujah. I want this to become revelation to you, and for you to know that the gift of faith can be operated in and through you, and that by faith, some having died in faith, having not received of the promise, they died in the gift of faith, even as much as those that live to see the gift of faith in operation, and the gift of faith coming into full focus. Some having died in faith, having not received the promises was fulfilled in those of the generations to come. Listen, saints of God, let us quit looking to the natural. Let us quit leaning upon the arm of flesh, knowing that if we lean upon the arm of flesh, that we're going to get what the arm of flesh has to offer, and that is nothing but disappointment. But the more we move into where Joel said, the Spirit said through Joel, I will restore all that has been destroyed by the cankerworm, realizing that the gift of faith can be an operation, you quit looking at that thing from the natural. You quit speaking those words that are negative. Listen, as we brought out before, I said, I have set before thee life or death. There is death in words, or there is life in words. As we begin to speak faith instead of discouragement, we will impart faith to other people. Listen, that there are so many saints today, actually they are strength sappers. That's exactly what I call them, strength sappers. You're not with them for 5 minutes, or they don't talk to you 5 minutes on the telephone, because before the faith that you've had in the Lord, your faith begins to go down, down, down. You quit listening to those words of unbelief. The minute you do, you become a partaker of that spirit of unbelief. It's up to the saints of God to begin to impart faith. And when people begin to talk unbelief and doubt and fear, you lay your hands upon them and say, in the name of Jesus, I stir the gift of faith within you. You begin to speak words of power. You begin to speak words of faith. Begin to impart faith and strength in the name of the Lord. And instead of being a strength sapper, you will begin to give forth strength in the name of the Lord because of the gift of faith that is in operation through you. In Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse, we read, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How many Christian people know the reality that they'll go from faith to faith? Now notice, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, and who is his righteousness be revealed in? It's revealed in the believers. It's revealed in those that will believe the Word of God. Let's begin to believe the Word of God. Instead of spirits of doubts and unbelief and discord and discouragement, let's begin to believe the Word of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and the saints of God will begin to go from faith to faith. They will begin to go from glory to glory. They will begin to go from strength to strength, instead of up one day and encouraged one day and down the next day and feeling that they can't go on with God, instead of feeling that they're backslidden and that they're away from God. Listen, let's allow the gift of faith to be operated in and through us, that we'll go from faith to faith and from glory to glory and from anointing to anointing. It is his desire that you don't stay on the same level. It is his desire that you don't stay on the same level that you moved in yesterday. As you moved into a new plane in God, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'll tell you, saints of God, too many of us have listened to the spirit of the world. We've listened to spirits of unbelief. We've had preached to us a time of apostasy, a time of falling away, that few of God's people feel that they can believe God for anything. But listen, let's move on to higher ground, and let's recognize that when the Lord said that his glory would be revealed, that his glory would be revealed in you, and you can go from faith to faith, and there can be a greater measure of faith in operation in you today than was yesterday. And as you walk on in the realm of the Spirit, there will be a greater measure of the gift of faith that will be operated in you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And this is what the Word of God means when it says that you will be more than conquerors. In Romans, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse is a revealing scripture. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many generations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now listen, it said that God calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now that takes faith. If God can count something that isn't, then you can, because you're in God and God is in you. You begin to declare to come to pass, because as you declare something, a creative work of God begins to take place because of the power and words. But if you fear and if you won't say it, and the devil will say, well, what if you speak it and if it doesn't come to pass? You say, listen, devil, what if I speak it and it does come to pass? God said, let there be light, and there was light. And because God spoke it, there was light and it came to pass. When you will begin to speak forth healing, when you will begin to speak forth deliverance, when you will begin to speak forth faith, God will send all of heaven to your attention and on your behalf, and there will be a creative work of God done in your heart and soul and in the life of the other, and you will begin to stir up the gift of faith. You will begin to allow the gift of faith to be manifested. You will begin to see miracles on your behalf. Remember, saints of God, faith, the fruit, is given for the character of Christ to come forth, the righteousness of Christ to come forth, and faith, the gift, is given that you might work miracles and that you might receive miracles and enjoy the miracles that come from the Father. Listen, as we sow the seed will begin to grow, it will begin to cultivate, it will begin to come forth in manifestation, and I'll tell you, others will see that we have been with the Lord and that the Lord is working in and through us, and we will know that the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit withal. We reproduce after our kind. If you're a person of strong faith, your children will be a person of strong faith. If there's faith manifested in the pulpit, if there's faith manifested among the leaders, there will be faith manifested among those that we minister to, among those that we see in the home. And instead of despondency and discouragement, instead of the lack of the move of God, there will be a move of God that will shake the world for God.
We read in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, starting with the 7th verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. Now I want to mention to you that according to the Word of God, and in our teaching we have considered, that many times that the enemy or doubt or fear will allow you to believe that you can move into tongues to a degree, that you can move into interpretation a little bit, and that some may prophesy, but that it's impossible for you as a believer that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost to move into the revelational gifts. And then when it comes to the power gifts or the faith gifts, which we are considering now, the devil said, that's just an impossibility. That's just for a very, very few, and you can never move into that dimension. Now, according to the Word of God, the nine gifts of the Spirit are resident at all times, and the gifts of healing, the gift of miracles, and the gift of faith is within you at all times, and they will operate as a need arises, and the more we move into the power or the faith gifts, the more we will see God come forth in demonstration and power by the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 16:20, the Word says, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word with signs following. I believe now that we get what we preach. If we preach unbelief, we're going to get unbelief. If we preach revival, there's going to be revival. If we preach a move of God, there's going to be a move of God. If we preach the temple being cleansed, the temple is going to be cleansed. As we minister on travail, many of the saints will move into travail. As we minister on the nine gifts of the Spirit, we will see the manifestations of the Spirit in operation through the believers. And I believe that as we move more and more into the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing, that we will see the Lord working with us and confirming the Word with signs following. Acts 6 and 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Listen, Stephen was a man full of faith and power all the way through. When we read about Stephen, we see that he was a godly man, that he did not fear man, that he did not fear what the enemy could do to him, but he was a man full of faith and power, doing great miracles and wonders among the people. In Acts the 8th chapter and the 6th verse, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Remember that Paul said that I didn't come to you with the words of man's wisdom and the natural understanding of man, but he says I came in the Spirit in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. We've had church services for years without any demonstration. We've had wonderful preaching. Thank God for the preaching of the Word. But preaching goes far beyond just preaching. It goes on into ministry. And we need to go beyond the place of just preaching. We need to move into the place of real ministry in the Holy Ghost, allowing the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. In Acts the 2nd, in Hebrews the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm going to quote that again. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. These are days when God is desirous that people shall witness the miraculous power of God. And if ever the church needed a demonstration of miracles, we need it today. If ever the people of the world have come to a place of despondency and they're wondering where the life and where the move of God is, they have a right to wonder, because they're certainly not witnessing in many of our lives or in many of our churches. In John the 5th chapter, the 1st 11 verses, you can read there, the angel had come to trouble the waters. Thank God the waters are being troubled again, and the Spirit of God is not just moving in one denomination, but the Spirit of God has bypassed many, many of the organizations, many of the walls, and He's moving by His Spirit. His Spirit is being poured out upon all flesh. Now, in the original, the word miracle is called powers. The word miracle and the word power means the same. The gift of miracles is an explosion of the almightiness of God. Remember, when God begins to move by the Holy Ghost, we draw nigh to God and He draw nigh to us. That the miracle working power of God is an explosion of the almightiness of God. The word wonders, it means that which God intends to do in the last days. He said, there shall be wonders among the earth. He says, I will pour out of my Spirit. And He said, ye shall see wonders in all the earth. The word miracle also implies that it's an impelling, staggering astonishment, because God is moving in such a tremendous way. Remember that many times, and you have to remember as you continue to move on into the things of God, that the Holy Ghost isn't working today just like it did 50 years ago. The move of God today isn't like it was 10 years ago. And as God begins to work in a miraculous way, it's impelling, it's staggering, it astonishes us. I've had people say to me in our services, even people that have been in Pentecost this week, they've come in, and they've been in Pentecost for 25 years. They says, why, we were just astonished as we came. Amen. Our mouths dropped open. Why? Because of the spiritual activity, and because of the spiritual activity, the saints are having a word of testimony. Now, a lot of times with those testimonies of deliverance that come forth, and liberation and healing and demons being cast out, a lot of ministers and a lot of churches will say, well, I would like to have the testimonies, but can't we do it without the demonstration of the power of God? Men are saying, well, I would like to have the move of God, but do we have to have all the tambourine playing? Do all those people need to dance before God? Do you need to have so many victory marches? Do you need to shout so much? Do you need to have so many people slain under the power? Do you need to move into the activity? In other words, they would like it without that which will bring reproach upon them, and they feel that the world won't understand. Listen, the saints are waiting for the demonstration of the power of God, and not only the saints are waiting, but the unbelievers and the people of the world are waiting. And when they come in, you don't need to try to explain to them in the natural, because no person will understand it in the natural. But as we have told you so many times, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He will only witness the truth. All right, concerning miracles, it also means works. And the Lord said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. And as a lad serving God, saved at the age of 7, I used to read in the accounts, the word spoken where it said that there were 5,000 that were fed, there were 3,000 that were fed, that there were 5,000 that were saved in one day, that there were 3,000 that were saved in one day. And in my small mind, I thought, oh God, how could anything be greater than 2,000, 3,000 or 5,000 people being saved, plus the women and children in some occasion in one day's time. And yet, even in our generation, in other countries and around the world, we've heard of in one night's time when 200,000 have knelt before God and confessed of their sins, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can you imagine that in the realm of Christianity, 200,000 turning to the Lord in one night's time? The Lord spoke and said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. I shall never forget some time ago that as a little lad who was 12 years old, a red-headed boy went who had never seen, he was born blind, and he had come to a service for deliverance. And as the word of command was given, and as that boy began to speak out there, he began to look around. And the ministers and the people and all that were gathered there began to look in astonishment. And the minister lifted up his hand and said, son, how many fingers are showing? The boy said, 5. He put 2 down. He said, how many are showing now? The boy said, 3. He put all of them down but 1. And the boy said, 1. He said, can you point to the other objects in that room? And the boy pointed and named the objects. Now listen, we saw that little boy led to the platform by his mother. We saw him leave alone. And it brought rejoicing among the people of God. Why? Because of the boy that had never seen, the Spirit of God moved upon him in a supernatural way, and he received his sight. The gift of the word of miracles is also brought out in that it is the expected expression of the divine walking among men. I'm going to repeat that again. The gift of miracles is the expected expression of the divine walking among man. In other words, Jesus Christ walking among the candlesticks, the one with the whited robes and the one with the seamless garments, being the Lord Jesus Christ in his greatness and in his majesty and in his glory. It will be the expression of this person, the Son of God, walking among men. And naturally, as Jesus walks among men, something supernatural is going to take place. And this is the reason we read in Mark 11 and 24, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And I don't care how many ministers or leaders are doing it. If you're going to preach apostasy and a falling away, if you're going to preach a lack of faith instead of stirring up the gifts of faith, I'll tell you, there's not going to be the expected of the expression of divine walking among men. But when we begin to preach that Jesus Christ is walking among the candlesticks, when we begin by the laying on of hands to stir up the gifts of God, which also include the gift of faith, and it includes the gifts of healing, and it includes the gift of miracles, the church is going to have a word of testimony of the miraculous working power of God even among them. I can remember that many times as we've been in a service, God's children have chosen to move into the realm of the Holy Ghost. And as they have chosen to move in the realm of the Holy Ghost without even a prayer line, without even asking for people to come up to be healed, the Spirit of God has begun to move in a supernatural way. And many later on have had the word of testimony that God healed them instantly as they praised God in the dance and also in the victory marches. And I'm speaking of very, very serious cases. Instead of a healing line, I believe that as we move into the realm of the Spirit, that we'll have testimonial lines of people testifying to the glory and the praise of God of that which had taken place as they moved out of the natural into the realm of the spiritual. All right, the gift of miracles is also the visible tokens of an invisible power. Now, the invisible powers are greater than the powers that we see. I want you to recognize that and see this here, that the gift of miracles is the visible tokens of an invisible power. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We were in a certain city holding meetings, and while we were there, this young couple had their little baby. And as a baby was born, the baby was born with some kind of a sack around its heart, and the doctors and the nurses and all said that this baby could not live. These folks called us, and the pastor of this certain church and I went to the hospital. There we looked in, we saw this baby near death. And the Spirit of God moved on me that we should get permission from the nurses and from the hospital and ask if we could just go in and place our hands upon that crib, and telling them that we're going to leave a prayer cloth which we had anointed according to the Word of God and place it on the baby, believing that that baby would be healed. Now the nurses and the leaders thought this would be impossible, that even if we did it, that the baby would not live. But I said, God has quickened us to do that. We'd had our morning prayer meeting, and I said, the Spirit of God had led us to do it. May we get permission to do it. So finally, we got permission to do it. All we did was walked in. We placed our hand upon that crib. We put the prayer cloth that we had anointed in the name of the Lord, and we put it on that baby. Before a half an hour's time, that baby began to breathe normally. That sac or whatever that was causing that baby not to be able to breathe the way it should, to keep the organs from functioning of the lungs and the heart the way it should, the Spirit of God broke that, and that baby was healed instantly and is a strong baby to this day. Listen, I believe in miracles. I remember when we were overseas, the Spirit of God began to move, and upon cancerous cases that were very bad, the minute that hands would be laid upon that body, that very day that cancer would pass from their body. About 9 years ago, we have the testimony of it. I was in the General Hospital in Tacoma, Washington, very bad with brain tumor. The pressure on the right side of my brain in my head had doubled because of the growth of this tumor. But before they laid hands upon me, I was flat on my back, wild with pain. This had been going on for several months. It had come to the place the doctors were afraid for me to move, lest this tumor would break. But I'll tell you, the church got a hold of God. They began to fast. They began to pray. I had Lutherans come in, ministers, and tell me they were praying. I had other denominational people come in and tell me they were praying. Pentecostal people came in and told me they were praying. And after the prayer of faith had gone up, they came in before surgery. They made the same tests again on my body. And I was healed instantly in the name of the Lord, and I've never had a touch of that since. The doctors marveled at and said, Reverend Duncan, I don't understand what took place. I said, listen, doctor, I believe that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In the last 2 years, I've had a miraculous touch from God. Many of you have heard the testimony about October the 30th. Just 2 years ago, I had a very severe heart attack. In this ministry, I have gone beyond what I should have. I didn't use wisdom. Many nights, I would be in my office casting out of demons until 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and even 5 in the morning, and then going all day without withdrawing and using wisdom. And naturally through this, I've learned much. But when I had this heart attack, my heart was so enlarged that it filled 3/4 of my chest, and lung infection started at the same time with water coming into my lungs. The doctor said to me, he said, Reverend, he said, this is a hopeless case. You can't live. He told me right out. And for 18 months, I weighed in the balance concerning my physical body. The saints held on for me. And it was last February as I began to move into travail and allow travail to take place in my own body, that actually the powers of death left my body. And right after that, I was discharged from the medical doctors. I've gone harder than ever before, ministering 8 and 10 and even 12 hours a day, seeing God move in a supernatural way. Listen, the Lord is confirming His word with signs following. Faith is being created in our hearts as we've never known. And this is the reason the Lord said, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. That old spirit of lethargy will not allow you to believe God. That old spirit of blindness will not allow you to believe God. But the Lord said, I will give you a new heart. He said, I will give you a new spirit. Thanks be unto the name of the Lord that God is working today, confirming His word with signs following. May I ask you the question, who hinders God's host doing His pleasure today? Think about that for a minute. Who hinders God's host doing His pleasure today? The touch of the Master's hand is just as powerful as it was in the ancient days. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in James, the 5th chapter, naturally, the gift of miracles goes right along with the gifts of healing. The gift of miracles can be on many different lines, where naturally the gifts of healing is on the line of healing. And I like to say that many times people will ask, well, how come it's called the gifts of healing? Now, I believe that many times when people come to be prayed for, if we as ministers would allow the word of knowledge to operate, if we would allow a word of wisdom to operate for that person, what they should do after they have been ministered to. I believe that many times a prayer of faith is prayed for a person, but if you allow that person to go against kingdom principles, which I did in my body by not getting the right rest, by not eating correctly, we can go against kingdom principles and we can be prayed and prayed and prayed for, and the prayer of faith can be prayed for us, but God will not go against His divine laws. We must remember that. God will not go against His divine laws for Wilburn Duncan. He will not do it for you. He will not do it for anyone else. I believe that when we'll get the proper rest that we should, when we will eat the way we should, after we've been ministered to, we will know divine health. We will know divine life as we've never known. Now, in Acts, the 4th chapter, and starting with the 33rd verse, I want to show you how God had worked among the people. Now you remember that Peter and the disciples had been going forth, and they had been healing the sick, and after they had been healing the sick, there were those of the religious leaders came in their midst, and they said, "By what power or what name have you done this?" And in the 8th verse of Acts, the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Now this man who had been a cripple, you know the story, for years and years, when he was healed by the power of God, instead of the religious world rejoicing, now they should have been glad, even if they didn't believe in the way that it was done, they should have been glad for God confirming His word and for the healing that had come to this man. Who is it that is standing against the workings of God today? If you hear it very little from the people of the world, they're glad if they hear about a miracle because they see so much suffering. But when God begins to move by His Spirit and confirm His word with signs following, who is it that will stand those that move into the things of God? It's a religious world today. It's a church system today. Listen, the name of Jesus is the power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is as strong as it was when He walked upon the earth. And then I want you to know that they were commanded never again to lay hands and to speak in the name of Jesus. But in the 28th verse, we start to read in Acts 4 and 28, "For to do whatsoever thine hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, they had gone to prayer. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word." And he said in the 30th verse, he said, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, now listen, they had prayed the prayer of faith, miracles began to happen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And in the 33rd verse, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Thank God for the greatness of God. It's no wonder we sing in unison many times, "How great thou art, how great thou art." Listen, God is moving by His Spirit, confirming His word with signs following. And I want you to notice in Acts, the 4th chapter there, and especially starting with the 33rd verse, that great power was manifested, that great grace was given unto them, that they could be able not to fight their own battle alone, but as God moved by His Spirit, as a religious one would stand against them, God gave them great grace. And then as God continued to move, great needs were supplied. Every time we began to move in the realm of the Spirit, we move beyond our little puny thinking. We move beyond the needs of our own family, our own church, those that are in our own circle, and we see that great needs are supplied by the Spirit and the power of God. The Word of God tells us that there was great victory because the place was shaken. Oh, how hard it is for man's kingdom to be shaken. How hard it is for God to begin to move in a sovereign, supernatural way. And we have felt for years, well, God's going to do it in our nice way. God's going to do it in a way that's going to please me. God's going to do it in a way that's going to please the organization. God's going to do it in a way that's not going to shake up our little kingdom. I tell you, when God moves by His power, it brings such great victory that there is a great shaking that takes place, and a lot of people think that they're going to have revival without the shaking, but beloved, it can't take place. Your pride's going to be shaken. Hypocrisy is going to be shaken. Many of the puny doctrines that we've held on to that has brought division among the body of Christ, your little puny doctrines are even going to be shaken, and many of us are going to realize that we've been teaching just what our pastors or forefathers taught us, and they taught it because they were taught it by their pastors and forefathers, and back until when God begins to move by His Spirit, we see that the Holy Ghost teaches what is in the Word of God by revelation, and we must receive it by revelation, and what happens to our kingdom, what happens to our pet doctrines, they go out the window, and faith begins to operate among the children of men, because there's great victory, and the place is shaken. And then it doesn't stop there, there was great persecution. A lot of people, when God begins to move in revival, when their healings begin to take place in a space where there's a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, there is great persecution. And many people say, well, if this is revival, why can't people understand it? If this is revival, why all the repercussions? If this is revival, why is the persecution taking place? You read in the book of Acts, you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read the epistles of Paul, you read the letters of John, and you'll see that when God began to work, that every time there is persecution, Christ was persecuted. Many of us want to share with Christ in His glory. We want to share with Christ in His victories. But oh, we don't want to share with Him in His sufferings. We don't want to share with Him in His persecution. Listen, many saints are praying for patience. Tribulation worketh patience. You beware when all men speak well of you. And in the move of God today, those that stand for it, they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be stood against. But let me tell you, our roots are going to have to be so in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to have to be such a solid foundation. We're going to have to know the truth of the Word by revelation, by experience. We are going to have a personal word of testimony. No matter how many denominations and people will stand against you or will stand against me, we will still say, oh God, my heart is fixed upon Thee. You are working in a miraculous way. You are confirming Your Word with signs following, and what more do we desire? Now the Bible is more than a book of miracles. It is a miracle book. Oh, how grateful we are today that the Word of God, that the Bible is a book of miracles, and that's exactly what it is, but it's also a miracle book. The person that lives by the Word must be visited daily by the Spirit. And I believe that as we go into the Word of God with understanding, listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is not just hearing somebody else read the Word, but you can take the Word of God. You can begin to read it out loud. You can hear yourself read it out loud. It creates faith. It stirs faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And the person that lives by the Word must be visited daily by the Spirit of God, so that that Word will be quickened to you, and it will be revelation and truth among you. His walk must be a daily walk visited by heaven. Listen, so many of us are so earthly. We are so natural. This is the reason the Word said to set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. The person that will move this way, he is different, not only morally and spiritually, but also enlightenedly, dynamically, and emotionally. Many people say, I don't believe in emotions. People that do not have emotions are in the cemetery. Remember that God has made us and given us emotions. I thank God that I am able to laugh. I thank God that I am able to respond. You go to many mental institutions and you will see that people that can't respond, that they can't show any emotion, that they're certainly not the way they should be. They're not normal persons. The Lord has come to make us a whole man, and He's come to do this by the gifts of the Spirit and by the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, as we mentioned before, Christ is the 9 gifts of the Spirit, so He's all miracle working power, so He gives the gift of miracles. He is all healing, so He gives the gifts of healing. He is all faith, so He gives the gift of faith. And Christ came to make us a whole man. And what does a whole man do? We respond. We enjoy the things of life. We have seen this in the experiences. We've moved into this dimension with casting out of demons and dealing with the powers of darkness through truth. Through travail and allowing the Word of God to become effective in people. When people get to the place that they don't enjoy life, when they get to the place that they don't enjoy those things that God has so freely given by the Holy Ghost, that is not the works of God. That is the works of the devil, because he destroys desire. He destroys those emotions that God has given you. And I'm speaking of emotions that will respond to the spiritual and emotions that will respond to the things that God has given us by the Holy Ghost. As I look at Christ as my
my Heavenly Father, I don't think of some sovereign being that is just waiting for you or for me to fail in some way, and then He's just going to cast us out and put us aside. This is almost a tradition of the teaching among Pentecost and many of our other holiness groups today, that God is such a severe person with no love. Listen, my Father is a loving Father. He's a Heavenly Father. He's a happy Father, and He desires that His children be happy. And this is the reason that the Word of God tells us, except you become as little children. It is so hard for us to become as little children. We feel that we know so much. We feel that we have been in the way for 50 years. We feel that we are such learned students. Oh, may God take that pride. May God take that little puny knowledge that we have. May God take that intellectualism out of us. And may we become as little children and begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. And some, we've got the idea that when we come to the house of God, we come to get people saved. Listen, as we allow God to move by His Spirit, we have confidence in the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that liberates, that saves people. It's the same Spirit that saves people, that will heal people. It's the same Spirit that will heal people, that people are baptized with the Holy Ghost, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And as we come together in the house of the Lord, we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, this is what the word means. Many of us have the truth upon it, but we're afraid to do it because we're so reserved. We're afraid to do it because we're so dignified. We're afraid to do it because we don't think it will be accepted by headquarters. Listen, let us begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we do this, God will confirm His word with signs following, because we will put aside the way that we feel that God is going to do it and allow God to do it in the way that He plans. And any time, I would like to mention here again that the move of God is hard on the flesh. Now, the Lord is not concerned that the flesh will be pampered. The Lord is not concerned that your flesh is just going to be tickled and that you're just going to be at ease in Zion anymore. Those days in the Christian realm are over. Pride is going out the window, and God is moving by His Spirit, and the saints are coming to a full life in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, and we are complete in Him. Now remember that the person that will walk in the Spirit and will experience the miracle working power of God, he is different not only morally and spiritually, but he's also enlightenedly, dynamically, and emotionally different. He sees things that only God sees. He does things that only God can do. He perceives by the Spirit of God. He acts by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is all-powerful. The astonishing thing about the Christian in the church today is not that we are just astonished at miracles, but that we should remain unastonished at the absence of them. Now, may I say this again? May the Spirit of God quicken this to your heart and soul. The astonishing thing about the Christian in the church today is not that we are just astonished at miracles, but that we should remain unastonished at the absence of them. We walk into our churches, we sing three songs. The pastor prays. We have a choir number. We have a half an hour message. Everybody leaves for home at 12 o'clock. A few of them will come back to a Sunday evening service that will last about an hour or an hour and 15 minutes. And when we say that the Word of God, and we know that the Word of God is a miracle-working book, when we realize that the Word of God says to walk in the Spirit, and if we walk in the Spirit, there are going to be miracles. Many times when God begins to move, we're astonished that there are some miracles, and yet the church remains unastonished at the absence of miracles. May the Holy Ghost challenge you on this tape today as you listen to the message of truth. May we be astonished at the lack of the Holy Ghost and the lack of the move of God, and that the church is so sick today. We can't kid each other. We know that most of the church is sick today. We can't kid each other. We know that so many of the people are not walking in victory. Let us quit trying to fool ourselves with board meetings and conferences and everything else that will not bring forth the power of God, and allow God to move in a miraculous way. Let us become astonished because there is such a lack of the move of God among the children, among the teenagers, and among the mothers of Israel. The ritual of Pentecost was proceeding in the temple at Jerusalem on the appointed day of Pentecost. Now remember that many of the religious leaders had come to Jerusalem. They'd come to the temple on the appointed day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit ignored it all and fell in miracle torrents in the undistinguished upper room. Many of these religious leaders, it was actually the day of Pentecost, but God bypassed all the religious leaders. God bypassed the temple, and He went to a group that had assembled in the upper room, 100 120. They had been waiting before God. Only God knows what had been taking place in the upper room, the cleansing of the temple, the travail that had taken place by the Spirit of God, for the saints to be made ready for the visitation of God's power. I want to tell you that Pentecost started outside of the humanly guarded cloisters of professional religion, and people are saying today, well, because our name has been this, God owes us a move of God, because our name has been such and such, I know that God is going to send it our way. Listen, God can bypass you and He can bypass me if our hearts are not open, if our spirits are not teachable to the things of God. And remember, even as the religious leaders on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Ghost bypassed them and He fell in the upper room, and 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as they came down from the upper room, they were as drunk men. The church does not want to take the repercussions of being drunk today. But when they came down from the upper room and they began to go on the streets of Jerusalem, people said, these men act like drunk people. But in one day's time, 3,000 were added unto the church. On another day, 5,000 were added unto the church. And the word of God said, the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Now, they didn't have time to teach all about it. They didn't have time to explain the manifestations of the Spirit of God that had taken place in the upper room and when they came down. When we will allow God to move by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost becomes a teaching. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm a firm teacher of the Word of God. In our services across the nation and overseas, we teach for hours. And not only do we teach, but we allow the Spirit of God to bring forth that which we have taught. We move into the activity of that which we've thought and which we've taught. The Lord does. The devil doesn't care if you're going to preach something if you don't allow it to be manifested. He doesn't care if you preach that people should be slain and then you not allow people to be slain. He doesn't care if you preach about joy if you're not going to allow joy to come forth. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm a firm believer in spiritual activity, because in these last 8.5 years that we've been in this, I've never seen so many of the saints move in joy. They'll come into the services, then they go out. There's such a flow of the Spirit. People that haven't shaken hands with each other for months will begin to ask forgiveness. The young and the old are praising God in the dance together. We hear the word of testimony of miracles that have been taking place by the Holy Ghost, because God is moving by His Spirit. And we as men have to be willing to set aside and let the world know and let the Spirit of God move upon the people. The world and the church wants highly trained supermen, but God wants laymen, fishermen, and all filled with the Holy Ghost and for the body to minister. We'll say, well, if I get this degree, if I get that degree, a lot of the missionaries are saying, well, if I get more degrees, I think that I can do more for God. Listen, a degree will never cast out a demon. A degree will never bring forth the power of God. The world and the church today want highly trained supermen, but God wants laymen. I don't care if they're fishermen. I don't care if they're mothers of Israel. He wants them filled with the Holy Ghost and for the body to minister as is called. When you come together, everyone hath a psalm. Everyone hath a revelation. Listen, believers, I believe in miracles, and I believe that there are going to be signs and wonders that is going to rock the church today. I believe that there are going to be signs and miracles and wonders that is going to rock the world today. And of a truth, God is going to go forth. And as we preach the word, as we forget about preaching about the traditions of men, when we forget about preaching that they'll say, well, if I won't preach it if it's not accepted by headquarters. If we will preach the word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, faith will begin to operate, and faith begins to operate, miracles will take place. When healing begins, faith begins to operate, healings will take place in the name of the Lord. And I believe as this tape has gone forth, that you that have said, I can't be healed, the devil has brought doubt and unbelief, that faith will be stirred in the realm of your own heart. A new heart and a new spirit will the Lord plant in you. You will begin to walk in the miracle working power of God. Blinded eyes will be opened, cancers will leave, and the Lord will confirm His word with signs following, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Jesus Christ is the same today and forever, and He will always be the same. Thank God for the power in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.